today's Doug Steffen Good Day program. How are you? It's Friday, the 5th of April, and we have a lot of things, as usual, to talk about. Kenny Kessler is here to help me out, but mostly your input, whether it be by Facebook, facebook.com, at Doug Steffen. Wait a minute. I always get the Twitter. Oh, I do that. Twitter and Facebook locked together and upside down sometimes. It's Facebook at Doug Steffen. No, it is neither. It's facebook.com/ Good Day Show. Is that right? Facebook.com. No. Yeah, Facebook.com. I forget what I have. It's Facebook.com and Twitter. Twitter at Good Day. Facebook.com/ Good Day Show. There we go. All right. And Doug at DougSteffen.com is fine as well. North Korea has been in the conversation focus all week long, along with immigration, what's happening on the Tonight Show, the death of Roger Ebert. Try to get all of that as much as we can, depending on your input here. Help yourself. North Korea, certainly one of the most talked about items this week. The latest is that North Korea and its military have moved missiles and launch components into the eastern coast of that country. Some of the analysts that have been talking about this and looking at it seem to believe that this at most is preparation for a test launch, which they've used in the past as a way to threaten the United States. It's kind of one of those things, okay, you give us this or we'll give you that, and we usually fall for it. What do you think we should do? Pentagon says recent announcements of military deployments in that region may be escalating things a bit. Now they're saying they're attempting to turn the volume down on our responses. So let's listen first to an interview on CBS. Bob Orr talks to national security analyst Juan Zarata about where things stand with North Korea after this week of threats and saber-rattling.
We talked about Korea before, and Korea is still front and center here. Where are we now?
Well, it's going to continue to fester, unfortunately, Bob, and the rhetoric has continued from the North Koreans. You've seen the South Koreans begin to signal not only displeasure, but start to talk about acquiring nuclear capabilities on their own, a little bit of a trial balloon and a sense of a warning that they're willing to proceed toward nuclear power in opposition to the North. Not nuclear weapons, they've said, but nuclear power. But this is all still escalating in a way that has the potential to really slip and to have one moment or one action, a provocation, serve as the flashpoint for a broader war conflict. I think there's a lot of strategists and analysts out there who are trying to project whether or not the North can actually come back from their rhetoric, whether or not they're going to actually have to be forced into some provocation because they have so much threatened it, and what the South would do, because the South has promised retaliation this time for any provocation, certainly any provocation that leads to loss of life as we've seen in the past. And so we are still in a precarious moment with Korea. You still have the potential of miscalculation and for one event to launch us into a war, I think.
What do we know? What kind of access, if any, do we have to the new North Korean leader? I mean, we don't seem to really understand how he thinks. So what do we know about him?
Not much. That's the problem. We don't have much direct contact. We don't have any direct contact. We don't have a diplomatic presence in Pyongyang. What we know from, in a sense, his past and, you know, information that comes from his current rule. But he's a new leader. He's a new leader as part of a third-generation dynasty, and people just don't know how he's making decisions or how he's reacting. And I think importantly, Bob, it's not clear either, though there are specialists out there who opine, but I think it's not clear who's whispering in his ear, who actually, among the military, among the elder statesmen, those of his father's generation are actually perhaps whispering in his ear and guiding him. The bottom line for him, though, is he needs to consolidate power, he needs to demonstrate strength, and that puts him in a position where he has to take actions that demonstrate that he's not going to bow to international pressure. And that's where we get into some real trouble.
Pretty hard to just walk away once you've made all these threats and you move missiles to launch sites and that kind of thing.
That's absolutely right. And two things to keep in mind, Bob. North Korea has a history not only of its brinksmanship and not only of taking provocative actions, the sinking of the South Korean vessel, the shelling of South Korean islands, but they are willing to be somewhat patient with the steps they take. So we may not see something tomorrow, but the challenge is this is going to fester, and they could, that's next week, next month, in 6 months. And so that's a danger.
All right, so is this a dangerous situation as far as you're concerned? Help yourself to 888-302-3684. Or as I said to Doug at DougStefan.com, it's an easy way to get in. We'll have lots of comments from Facebook and Twitter during the course of the hour. We'll spend a little bit more time on North Korea. I'm not sure how much new information there is here. Here's Taco's Billy Cornelius with a focus on U.S. military basically setting up shop near the North Korean border this week.
Now there's talks of U.S. troops stand poised to respond at the border between North and South Korea. Little rumblings and whispers of a preemptive strike. So here's the latest. North Korea dramatically escalated its warlike rhetoric on Thursday, warning that it had authorized plans for nuclear strikes on targets in the United States. The moment of explosion is approaching fast, the North Korean military said, warning that war could break out today or tomorrow. Pyongyang's latest pronouncement came as Washington scrambled to reinforce its Pacific missile defenses, preparing to send out ground-based interceptors to Guam and dispatching two Aegis-class destroyers to the region. Tension was also high in the North's heavily fortified border with South Korea after Kim Jong-un's isolated regime barred South Koreans from entering a Seoul-funded, not the city Seoul-funded joint industrial park on its side of the frontier. They prevented workers from coming from the south into the north to work. In a statement published by the state KCNA news agency, the Korean People's Army General Staff warned Washington that U.S. threats would be smashed by cutting-edge, smaller, lighter, and diversified nuclear strike means. The merciless operation of our revolutionary armed forces in this regard has been finally examined and ratified, the statement said. Last month, North Korea threatened a preemptive nuclear strike against the United States. We all laughed that off. And last week, its Supreme Army Command ordered strategic rocket units to combat status. I love some of these descriptions. Supreme Army Command. Last month, North Korea threatened a preemptive nuclear strike against the United States. I just told you that. And last week, Supreme Army Command ordered strategic rocket units to combat status. But while Pyongyang has successfully carried out test nuclear detonations, most experts think it is not yet capable of mounting a device on a ballistic missile capable of striking U.S. bases or territory. Mounting tension in the region could, however, trigger incidents, and this is my worry, could trigger incidents on the tense and heavily militarized border between the North and South. We have troops there in the South, and last thing I wanted to see something happen to them.
So North Korea moving their missiles to its east coast, that seems to be the thing that's changed the most. Let's have a little more chat on this in a few moments, and then we'll move on in the conversation focus in this hour of Good Day.
Mom, I had the best dream.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. It was this angry dragon.
It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle is safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at HouseLogic.com.
Well, Flo,
uh-huh.
This is what you call a clogged drain tap.
Yep, looks that way.
Might need a drain extension, some new compound.
Maybe a flange or a twirly thingy.
A twirly what?
Oh, what you said. Those sounded great. Let's go with that.
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. Low down payment, great discounts, and flexible billing options. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company Affiliates.
Today we're asking people to name their one favorite meal for one from Stouffer's.
One favorite? Stouffer's lasagna. But how about the barbecue chicken?
Grilled white meat chicken coated with a sweet and tangy sauce with a side of cheesy potatoes topped with crisp bacon.
Yes.
So that's your one Stouffer's favorite.
Oh, but I also like Stouffer's meatloaf.
Classic meatloaf with a rich tomato glaze. Smothered in a savory gravy with a tasty side of... Hey, where are you going?
You kidding? The store!
Stock up on all your favorite Stouffer's meals for one. Today.
Hi, friends.
friends. Doug Steffen here with today's Celebrate Me Time tip from Stouffer's Single Serve Meals. Important to take a few breaks from whatever you're doing every day. How about walking around the block or your yard? Relax. Breathe in some fresh air. You'll be surprised how this bit of me time will truly help to recharge your battery as well as refuel your mind. Make sure to keep listening for more tips like this from our friends at Stouffer's Single Serve Meals.
If you depend on prescription opioid painkillers or heroin to get through each day, you may ask yourself, how did I get here? Withdrawal and rehab seem like scary and difficult roads, but there is a different way. I know because I was just like you and I found it at TurnToHelpNow.com. At TurnToHelpNow.com, I learned about different ways to get help, including those in a private setting without the need for daily visits. Find your courage and go to TurnToHelpNow.com today.
That's what I'm talking about!
All over America, millions are saving big on Shell fuel through the Fuel Rewards Network program. You can too.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh!
Just shop through FuelRewards.com and dine at participating restaurants to earn rewards. Then, swipe your Fuel Rewards Network card to save big at participating Shell stations.
Yeehaw!
Want to pay less for fuel? A lot less? Sign up free at FuelRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Limit 20 gallons per purchase per vehicle. For information on rewards expiration and other details, see FuelRewards.com.
Conversationally, state by state, around the country and around the world at DougSteffen.com. This is the Good Day program. The focus on North Korea and the threats against our country. Spokespeople for the North Korean People's Army have released a statement saying the military has been authorized to attack the American imperialist using smaller, lighter, and diversified nuclear weapons. Experts believe the weapon could be a medium-range missile called Musudan, which is known to carry a range of about 1,800 miles. Possible North Korea might be considering a test launch on the 15th of the month, the birth date of the country's founder and leader, the grandfather of the kid who's in charge there now. Here's Taco's John McConnell with a focus on what he thinks makes this kid more dangerous than his father.
Are they a big threat to us? I think they're a big threat to us in that we will be forced to do more. I don't think he can physically attack our mainland, but he certainly can attack our military who are on the border there. I think the North Koreans have the ability to attack. I don't know what kind of nuclear materials they have. That's just it. Nobody really knows for sure. They have this plant that they shut down. Now they're talking about cranking a nuclear power, a generating facility, and from that they were able to generate fissionable material. They shut it down, but now he's opening it back up again. It will probably several months before it's up and running, and then probably another year total before he's able to get enough material to make one nuclear warhead. The scary part of it is, though, his father was scary enough, but he had a much tighter control on everything. Now, since Kim Jong-un tried to purge the upper military, now he doesn't have their support as much as possible, so it may just be a political power struggle, which may, you know, in his efforts to show to the people how powerful he is, he may launch and do something stupid. I think that's the biggest scare that everybody has across the board about this. Well, whether or not they physically could attack the mainland United States, I don't believe. But they do have some things that possibly are capable of reaching the Hawaiian Islands or like Guam or Alaska. The 48 contiguous states, I don't think so. But whatever he does is going to be bad. And it's going to drag us into an ugly war, which basically all of them are pretty ugly, but this one is going to be bad because you never know what finger he's got on what button and what's behind the button.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. imagine. No ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarette's revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
The coming financial collapse is real. The subsequent social unrest will happen. Even if you made it out of suburbia alive, where would you take your family? Act now to secure your survival retreat in the American Redoubt with the experts at SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. The American Redoubt is the designated safe haven for all liberty-minded patriots relocating to Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. Get eyes, ears, and boots on the ground. Get professional, confidential, discreet advice. Get SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. Call 208-627-2855. Save time, money, and stress while you secure your ultimate survival retreat property now, before it's too late. Water, energy, food, defense. SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com.
The hour on the Friday, the fifth version of the Doug Good Day program. And this hour, we are often listening to lots of input from a lot of callers and hosts who are into the issues of the day and the UN arms treaty this week, new gun laws in Connecticut, people talking about the UN and how they approved overwhelmingly the first treaty on the global arms trade horizon. The treaty seeks to regulate this business, $70 billion in trade, conventional arms, not just in our country is it a controversy, but around the world. And so here's a radio host named Jack Ricciardi talking to the Texas Attorney General about the concerns that they have over this treaty and what it means for that business here in the United States.
You are reacting to the passage by the United Nations General Assembly of their International Arms Treaty by a vote of 154-3, the three no votes being Iran, Syria, and North Korea. President Obama supports the treaty, and of course, the U.S. voted for it. The Senate has already said there's no way we would pass this treaty. It's DOA. You are threatening to sue if the Senate ratifies it and the president signs it. Do you think there's any chance of that?
Well, let me explain why I'm concerned about this. As you pointed out, the Obama administration is strongly supportive of this treaty. And I think that they will try to use this treaty and actually the failure of Dianne Feinstein's assault weapon ban to try to get the United States Senate to vote to ratify this treaty. What they can do is to argue, listen, you guys took the tough votes you needed to take so you won't get unelected in your reelection campaigns by voting against Feinstein. You can vote in favor of this UN treaty, which at the surface level makes it seem like all they're really trying to do is to regulate the flow of tanks and heavy armaments across international boundaries. But when you drill down into it, you can see that this treaty provides authority and power to the United Nations to be able to have some level of regulation of firearms here in the United States. So it's quite insidious. It tramples constitutional rights. But because of its seeming innocuous or innocent surface-level appearance, it could be used by the Obama administration to try to strong-arm the Senate into ratifying this. If that happens, then I will be filing a lawsuit.
How would that work? I mean, how would a lawsuit in this case work?
Right. There is precedent from the United States Supreme Court in a case called Reed versus Covert, where the United States Supreme Court said that international agreements by the United States are not do not trump the Constitution. And so I would file a lawsuit saying that constitutional rights contained in the Second Amendment trump a treaty like this entered into by the United States. And to the extent the treaty is inconsistent or violates our Second Amendment rights, is unconstitutional, and the treaty should be torn apart.
That's the Attorney General from Texas, Greg Abbott, with his concerns over the International Treaty on Gun Control. Here are some talk radio callers from various parts of the country with thoughts on this legislation.
I am highly in support of what the president had to say, and I can't imagine why anybody would not be in favor of background checks. The thing is, you know, if you don't have bad intentions, and when you purchase a gun, why have a problem with background checks? Another thing is, I know this is hard for some people to swallow, but, you know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and she said, imagine a world with no guns. You know, guns are only to kill people or to kill animals. And why would you even want to kill animals? Even to go hunting for food. You can go to the store and buy it already dead. What do you really need with a gun besides to kill? So I'm not in favor of guns. I'm really not. And I think that if there was a world with no guns, we wouldn't have this problem. People could say what they want to say about it's not the guns, it's the people. It's the guns.
All right, so new gun laws pushing stricter control and mandatory ownership. Part of what it's on people's minds this week on Conversation Radio.
Hi, I'm Clay Wall, Senior VP of Kmart. We're the number one corporate supporter of the March of Dimes. Walking in March for Babies is always special. But with your help, we can make this year better than ever as we celebrate 75 years of March of Dimes Breakthroughs for Babies. Join us in March for Babies to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org and march to help babies.
This is a Multiview special report brought to you by General Mills. Before award season takes its final bow, it's time for the people to show off their good taste by awarding the best food experiences across the USA. The Munchies People's Choice Food Awards are back. Once again, the public can vote for their personal favorites in the world of food. TV personality and chef Andrew Zimmern.
I've partnered with Tablespoon.com on The Munchies, the first ever People's Choice Food Awards. Together, we're going to celebrate everything we love about food in America. We assembled a panel of experts from all areas of the culinary world to come up with a short list of their personal food favorites. Now, we need your vote to help determine who is really the best of the best.
The people can view the Munchies nominees on Tablespoon.com from April 1st to April 30th and vote for their favorites once a day. The Munchies winners will be announced in early May. For more information and to vote, visit Tablespoon.com/TheMunchies. I'm Dan Marin.
Ah, the sound of small business getting busier. Can you tell which one is using AT&T? Truth is, they all are, because businesses of all kinds can find AT&T customizable plans that fit their exact needs. Whether it's broadband, mobility, or nationwide voice, at AT&T, we can help your business get humming.
I need more receipt paper, please.
Call 1-855-877-4288 today and ask about special offers available.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey Water Filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free. A 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply. Be in control. Be self-sufficient and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Associated Press, the largest news gathering outlet in the world, will no longer use the term illegal immigrant. That is out. No longer illegal immigrant. They'll now use the phrase undocumented Democrat. That is a new word. Undocumented Democrat. No more.
All right. So there's Jay Leno having some fun with one of the items that's hot this week. Actually, the discussion of immigration and the discussion of Jay Leno, not necessarily one and the same. Leno just happens to have a play on something that are on some of the items that are on people's minds, and that's what makes him good at what he does. I think he's the best around now, and hope that he quickly settles in with Fox to give NBC a run for their money. At any rate, before we talk about him, let's listen to radio host Richard Dixon talking about that fact that Leno just presented. The Associated Press has become identifiably pretty much in the same role as MSNBC has become, and some of the radio programs that lean to be left of center. The Associated Press says no longer they use the phrase illegal immigrant. So I guess my question to you would be, rhetorically or otherwise, what should the phrase be? Here's Richard Dixon discussing this.
The Associated Press, the largest news gathering outlet in the world, will no longer use the term illegal immigrant. News came in the form of a blog entry authored by Senior Vice President and Executive Editor Kathleen Carroll Tuesday afternoon, explaining that the decision is part of the company's ongoing attempt to rid their style book of labels. The style book no longer sanctions the term illegal immigrant or the use of illegal to describe a person. Instead, it tells users that illegal should describe only an action, such as living in or immigrating to a country illegally. The company's decision comes after years of controversy over the term. Fusion, the ABC-Univision joint venture, does not use illegal immigrant because they believe it dehumanizes those it describes and find it to be linguistically inaccurate. Oh, really? Well, then what in the world do you suppose we should you call these people? Do you want to come up with a name for them that is better than illegal immigrant? If illegal immigrant is wrong, then why don't we come up with something that's positively brilliant, that nobody can argue with? And I don't want to hear wetback, okay? There's no reason to take this down to the lowest common denominator, all right? But I remember years ago when one legislator said, well, calling someone an illegal immigrant is on par with calling them the N-word. And I was like, you offend me with your stupidity. I'm offended by how idiotic that is. Of course that's not the case. Again, these people are responsible for their own actions. They did cross the border illegally. Now, there are those who want to call them undocumented workers. You got a couple of problems there. One, many of them have documents. They're not real documents, but they have them. And two, a lot of them ain't working. So how are they undocumented workers? You need something. You need an all-inclusive label that's going to cover these people, and we can't use illegal immigrant.
Well, we can. We just don't read the copy that comes from the Associated Press. That's all. It's a pretty simple solution to it. That's the way I'd look at it, because I'm going to continue to call them illegal immigrants. I don't care what the Associated Press says, and neither should you. It's just another way of rendering a conversational point, right? 888-302-3684. Email the Doug at DougStephan.com. Facebook.com/Good Day Show. Twitter at Good Day. Here's host now, Tim Conway Jr., who, as we go back to the original sound that you heard in this half hour, Jay Leno having a joke about the Associated Press, but the Jay Leno-Jimmy Fallon exchange and change has been, as well as the focus on the Tonight Show in general, a topic of discussion that lots of people have wanted to get into, because a lot of people like Jay Leno, and they don't like what's going on. Don't worry, Jay Leno will come out fine. He'll do what he wants to do on another network if that's what he wants to do. Anyway, so here's Tim Conway talking about the Tonight Show actually going from Los Angeles to New York next year.
Late night, job loss. This is going to be huge for Southern California. And it really means a lot. The Tonight Show, since I was born, always been out here. Well, maybe that's not true. It's been out here for most of my life. I think it started in New York. Then they brought it out to Burbank. Well, now it's going back to New York City. New York, New York. The city's so nice, they named it twice.
The worst-kept secret in late-night TV is now official. Jimmy Fallon will take over The Tonight Show from Jay Leno, and he will also move it back to New York City.
The move, though, could mean dozens of people who worked on the show in Burbank will be out of jobs.
And when those dozens of people lose their jobs, dozens of businesses are affected as well.
We just spoke with Burbank's mayor a short time ago. He told us about 170 people work on The Tonight Show, and we did speak with one of the employees who didn't want to go on camera. He told us that some Tonight Show workers are being told they can go to New York, some are not. So what happens to the jobs?
How about that? How casual is that?
Being told they can go to New York, some are not. So what
you can go to New York, you can't, you can, you can't. You two can't. You guys can.
On this day, as NBC makes it official, the show will move and Jimmy Fallon will be Leno's replacement. The Tonight Show move, a huge win for New York. NBC bringing the show back where it all started. However, it's a big blow to Burbank. The mayor, who threatened a hunger strike, we're told, sent a letter to NBC executives a few weeks ago urging them to reconsider the move.
It's not a surprise to us, and we're as disappointed as ever. Certainly, losing The Tonight Show is going to be a big blow to everybody who grew up watching the generations of The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and Jay Leno.
You
feel a special connection here.
But, you know, I think Burbank can survive without the Jay Leno Show. And I think the Jay Leno Show was going to be moved over to Universal anyway, because the property where NBC sits, that's all rented property, I believe. I believe that that property is leased by NBC. I do not think NBC owns that property. I'm going to make a prediction here. And I've not heard anything about this, but I'm going to make a bold prediction. Two words: Walt Disney. I think Disney will take over the NBC lot.
Okay. So there's a lot of hoo-ha there, back and forth. First of all, the idea that a lot of people are going to lose their jobs is nonsense. There's so much production in Los Angeles going on, and there's so many need. The production facilities are needed. The people who are working there, there's no shortage of work for people in Los Angeles, even though it is becoming very expensive to do things there, and people are producing radio, television, movies, want to move out of Los Angeles and even move out of California, because the state is so ridiculous to work in. Still, there's plenty of focus in Los Angeles, Burbank, Hollywood on all of this. So I wouldn't worry. I think that being a part-time Angelian and involved in this business to a certain extent, I think that that's nonsense. That woman doing that report is, as Tim Conway pointed out, to a degree, ridiculous. And yeah, there are a lot of, if they want to go to New York, they'll be able to go to New York. There are plenty of people in New York that can take over those jobs because, frankly, there hasn't been as much production. Although when Dick Wolf started doing all the Law and Orders in New York, television production ratcheted up. A lot of new sound stages were built down on Chelsea Pier, and so that changed the reality there somewhat. But to focus on jobs with the Tonight Show is foolish. 888-302-3684. The Rutgers basketball players come to the side of the former coach, which is kind of an interesting twist on that whole thing. We'll have that discussion as we continue here on this hour of the Doug Steffen Good Day program.
Today we're asking people to name their one favorite meal for one from Stouffer's.
One favorite? Stouffer's lasagna. But how about the barbecue chicken?
Grilled white meat chicken coated with a sweet and tangy sauce with a side of cheesy potatoes topped with crisp bacon.
Yes.
So that's your one Stouffer's favorite.
Oh, but I also like Stouffer's meatloaf.
Classic meatloaf with a rich tomato glaze. Smothered in a savory gravy with a tasty side of... Hey, where are you going?
You kidding? The store!
Stock up on all your favorite Stouffer's meals for one. Today.
At TurboTax, we know your paycheck is more than a number.
It's brown bag lunches every day.
It's picking up extra shifts.
And it's catching the bus to work.
You work hard to earn your money, and we want to help you stretch every dollar. That's why TurboTax lets you file your simple federal return for free. It's free to prepare, print, e-file, and you can even chat with a tax expert. TurboTax, the power to keep what's yours. Get the federal free edition at TurboTax.com. Live tax help service is subject to availability, restrictions, and change without notice. See TurboTax.com for details.
If you depend on prescription opioid painkillers or heroin to get through each day, you may ask yourself, how did I get here? Withdrawal and rehab seem like scary and difficult roads, but there is a different way. I know because I was just like you and I found it at TurnToHelpNow.com. At TurnToHelpNow.com, I learned about different ways to get help, including those in a private setting without the need for daily visits. Find your courage and go to TurnToHelpNow.com today.
As Americans, we feel a great sense of pride and respect for the men and women who've served to protect our freedom. It's so important that we each do what we can to support our veterans once they return home. The Purple Heart Service Foundation provides many services and programs, not just veterans that have received the Purple Heart Medal, but all veterans. Some of their programs include processing veterans' claims for compensation, educational programs, job training, and medical care. They also assist in identifying and helping homeless veterans. If you have a car you no longer need, donating your vehicle to the Purple Heart Service Foundation will help to provide funding for their many exceptional veterans programs. All donations, whether it's cash or a car, are 100% tax deductible. For more information on how to donate a vehicle, call them today at 877-743-1631. That number again is 877-743-1631. For cash or credit card contributions, go to mophsf.org. That's mophsf.org.
You see and hear ad after ad about owning gold, but they raise more questions than they answer. That's why American Bullion has created a comprehensive free gold guide packed with unbiased information about gold as an investment. Get the facts before you buy. Call American Bullion now for your free copy of the gold guide at 800-716-6878. That's 800-716-6878. Are you tired of stressing out about the economy and ready to take control of your retirement funds? American Bullion has a precise, tax-free, and hassle-free system to convert your existing IRA or former 401k into a gold IRA. That's why they're the leader in gold IRA rollovers. It's all spelled out in the free American Bullion Gold Guide that answers all of your questions in plain and simple English. Call for your free copy today at 800-716-6878. 800-716-6878. American Bullion. 800-716-6878.
Doug Steffen here on the Friday program. The radio review of this Rutgers situation this week is really pretty interesting. And a couple of different angles on it. Let's First, tune in to Philadelphia host Dom Giordano, who talked to a former Rutgers basketball player named Tyree Graham. Graham defended Mike Rice, the coach who was fired, earlier this week.
I understand that you were on ESPN's Outside the Lines. You were injured for 2 years, but you attended practice every day for Coach Rice's team. You told them, I think, Tyree, if it's accurate, that he crossed the line at times. What did you mean by that? What did he do?
I feel like sometimes, like, we'd be in games and, you know, like, it'd be a tough-fought game and a very physical game and stuff. And he, you know, after the game, you know, as a player, you know, after games and you lose, you're very down. You know what I'm saying? You're mad, you're angry, because we are all competitors. And that's one thing I can't say Coach Rice is. He's a very competitive person and very passionate about what he do. But at the same time, like, after a game, you know, it's not time for you to bash on all your players all the time, because that, it really hinders them as a basketball player. And because, like I said, also we're already mad because we lost.
Sure. I mean, by bashing him, do you mean cursing, hollering, calling you slurs? I mean, you know, did he call guys some of these gay slurs?
Yes, he did, but it wasn't something that – it was honestly, this whole thing has been put out of order, out of conduct, because – Coach Rice wasn't as bad as people was making him seem to be. You know, he really wasn't. You know, he's just a competitive, passionate person who let his competitiveness, you know, be the best of him. And I mean, it happens in sports every day.
Sure, Tyree. And I never played at your level, but I played in South Philly at a University of Durham, North Carolina. It's pretty competitive. And we would never stand for a coach, though, hitting us in the back or the back of the head with a basketball. What were you thinking the first time you saw that? He did hit you once, right?
I was thinking, when he hit me in the back with the basketball, 75% of the time he hit people with basketball, sir, he's playing, he's laughing, he's joking, you know, but he did, you know, the other 25% do it out of anger. He never hit me with a basketball out of anger. It was a joke, you know,
okay.
Just telling me to do something, you know. That's what I really think, like I said, sir, this is out of conduct, because Coach Rice was just somebody who was put in a situation where this video is really making him seem to be bad, but he's not as bad, sir. He's really not. And, you know, throwing a ball at a player, it doesn't matter, you know, how it looks on TV right now. It looks crazy. It looks bad, but it's not that bad in real life.
Yeah, certainly. It sure does look bad, for sure. All the basketball focus this week with the NCAA divisional finals, but this thing has overridden, I think, all of that. Here is talk host Robin Colbert talking to sports analyst Brian Posick about the coach's behavior.
People kind of laugh and chuckle about the Bobby Knight days. I suppose if you were one of the kids that was grabbed by Knight, it wasn't funny, but I mean, it just kind of was like, ooh, that's bad, Bobby, don't do that. And it just kind of, I don't know. Can you believe it's still going on like this?
I can't. You know, and with Bob Knight, too, because of his history of success, while some of these things may have come to light to his superiors, they went unnoticed or undetected by others. You know, certainly, too, when Bob Knight was coaching, and, you know, he retired a few years ago when he was last at Texas Tech, ESPN was not nearly as prominent as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
And then social media on top of that. So Bob Knight kind of flew under the radar. Everybody knew he was a hothead, still is probably. Everybody knew that at the time. But until the video of him putting a chokehold on Neil Reed at the time, back whatever that was, you know, nothing really was mentioned other than the fact that, you know, yeah, he's got to be tough on his kids, what have you. This is ridiculous, though, for this to continue, and for the athletic director, Tim Fernetti at Rutgers, to have known about this when a former assistant of Rice, Eric Murdoch, who actually used to play for the Milwaukee Bucks, when Eric Murdoch came to the athletic director in June and told him about it, and then the video was released and ever given to him in November. He did not act upon it until December, when they suspended Rice for three games and fined him $50,000 and told him to go to anger management. That's a great idea. That's fantastic. You know, and some at the time thought that maybe he was suspended because of things, his antics on during games on the floor, because he was a nut.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the problem with all of this is that this came out in June. At least it was made, the athletic director was made aware of it. Now the athletic director is quoted as saying that he and the school president had reviewed the video and came to the determination of the punishment back in December. Well, now the school president said the first time he saw the video was on Tuesday when it was released. So the athletic director is kind of talking himself into a circle, to say the least, although he may get some leniency there because he also was part of the lucrative negotiations with the Big Ten that will bring Rutgers to the Big Ten Conference in 2014.
So those of you who have played basketball, what have you experienced, whether you played on the high school level, the college level, whatever the level? I thought it was interesting that each of the coaches involved in this weekend's men's basketball Final Four said that they viewed the situation that led to Mike Rice's firing at Rutgers as an isolated incident. It is isolated behavior. Now, what I think when I see somebody boomed in the back of the head with a basketball, all the things that I know that we discussed with regard to football and head injuries in general, and what happens with something like that, a ball coming at your head like that, as hard as a basketball, that could be very dangerous. So I don't think anybody has any real toleration for Mike Rice. Has it been overplayed? I'm not sure. I don't think so. 51 after the hour.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves. Available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Once again, battling cancer, film critic Roger Ebert has died. That was the theme from the show that he was very involved in. Most of us remember Siskel and Ebert. Here's Don Lemon announcing the passing of Roger Ebert.
The legendary film critic Roger Ebert has died. That's what the Chicago Times newspaper is reporting. Ebert, 70 years old, lost his ability to speak and eat after surgeries for thyroid and salivary gland cancer in 2002 and 2003. He said earlier this week that his cancer had returned. The newspaper where Ebert worked for decades with the Chicago Sun-Times. This is a hole that can't be filled. This is according to the Times. It says one of the greats has left us. Roger Ebert passed away at the age of 70.
Now, you listen to that, and you've no doubt in the last couple of days heard a lot of the conversation about this from early in the week when he announced himself that he was going to cut back his work level. This was a show that was pretty iconic. Siskel and Ebert, Gene Siskel, Roger Ebert. Siskel died quite a long time ago, in 1999, in fact. Ebert teamed up with a couple of other reviewers, but it wasn't really a very good show. And so under the circumstances, we're saddened by it because he was an icon. But do you think too much attention is being paid to this? One wonders. I just asked the question rhetorically as we listen to a report from CBS on the life of Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert was better known and more celebrated than most of the actors in the movies he reviewed, a prolific author and television star.
That you even wasted the breath on this picture that you did.
Oh, it's come to the territory, Gene. It's my job.
Later, after his struggle with cancer forced him to speak only through a computer, his self-description was simple.
I'm a newspaper man.
A newspaper man. It had been his childhood dream, as he told former CBS2 anchor Antonio Mora.
My best friend's father was the city editor of the newspaper in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois.
He was a reporter in high school and at the University of Illinois, then at the Chicago Sun-Times. In 1967, at 24 years old, he became the Sun-Times film critic. His reviews were accessible to intellectuals and average moviegoers alike.
Roger, I think, made his name on being an extremely well-informed and intelligent populist, but you name me one critic who's got a broader range of tastes in international cinema than Roger.
In 1975, he joined Gene Siskel of the Chicago Tribune to review movies together on TV. It was a groundbreaking show, Sneak Previews, later called At the Movies. They found it a challenge to set aside their fierce rivalry.
Explain the chemistry between Ebert and Siskel, two rivals, two guys who really went at each other.
The competitive line was a nice electricity and attention. So one of them could take off of the other, almost with a personal attack, at any given moment.
Because it could turn on a dime. We could be friends, and then something would go wrong, and we'd get mad at each other, and then by the end of the show, we would have patched it up again, and it was all real.
Real enough to make great TV, influential enough to make Siskel and Ebert powerful. They drove big audiences to films that might have gone unnoticed.
That kind of influence, when it comes from an honest place of a love of movies, people responded to it.
The partnership lasted until Siskel's death in 1999. It was a devastating blow, but Ebert continued the TV show with Richard Roper before suffering a series of staggering health problems.
I had salivary cancer and thyroid cancer, and luckily both curable. And so I'm in good shape again.
But more cancer was found. Part of his jaw was removed, and he lost his ability to talk. With the help of his devoted wife, Chaz, Roger Ebert continued working, reviewing movies, writing books, living a vibrant life.
I think Roger put a great Midwestern mug on the idea of being one of the sharpest, smartest, most vital American film critics of all time.
Since we are only alive for this short span of time, I think we must try to be happy and to make other people happy.
You know, that's what that's the lesson to take away from all of this. Not necessarily the Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel that were on for 24 years, but and not even his own personal fight. Ebert's fight against all these cancers, but how prevalent cancer is, how horrifying it is, and what causes cancers. Where does this cancer come from? How does it get into our body? What does it do? What can we do to prevent this sort of thing from happening to us? I think that's more the conversation. Maybe the medical shows that are around will take that into or under advisement or into some kind of focus, but...
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.